Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times where none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parents in Hell with...
Jessica?
Yeah?
Can you say Rob Beckett?
Yeah.
Go on.
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Good girl.
I enjoyed the bit where she just said yeah.
Yeah, I do not. I really like that one because the mum spoke normally, right? Sometimes parents talking to their kids gets a bit too, well done, Poppy. Fuck off, Poppy. It was deeply average, right? But that was good. She did it well. The mum sounded normal and a bit of attitude at the start, Josh. I'd say that's an 8.5 for me.
Yeah, strong one. This is a recording of our 25-month-old Jessica saying your names. First attempt, no practices. I've been listening now for 3 years. Since moaning to a friend that nobody ever talks about the rubbish side of being a parent, she laughed and directed me straight to your podcast. I've been a huge fan ever since. Please keep doing what you're doing. Emily, originally from Cambridge, now living in Staffordshire.
Lovely stuff.
Have you done Stafford Gate House, Rob?
Oh, have I? Yes, I have, mate. Numerous times in the big room, the little room, yeah. All over it. Yeah, Staffordshire. How are you, Josh? What's going on with you?
Good, I'm good. I need to give you a cat update, don't I?
Yes, so you were having to take a cat to the vet, but they look exactly the same, so you was worried you was going to take the one that didn't need... one looked peaky.
According to Rose.
I think you're a better cat owner than me, because I just sort of... I wouldn't know if my cat looked peaky or not. I know when they look thin.
Right. Well, I want you to save that thought for... after I've told you this story about whether I'm a better cat owner than you.
Right,
I just sent you a picture of the two cats that we'll put on our Instagram to give people an idea.
Okay, sure.
How easy
names
it is.
Again, Beryl and...
Eddie.
Well, it's quite easy. One sat down, one stood up, Josh.
That is good stuff. The whole family can enjoy that kind of humour.
So it looks to me that... Is there a tiny bit of grey on the... No, they've both got that little bit of grey on the chest. They are black cats, long-haired black cats with green eyes, and both have got a little bit of grey on their chest. That's a tough spot.
They're sisters.
Sure.
No surprise there. And so, I finished recording this at about 12.
Oh, Josh, I've written a really good joke. I've started doing comedy again. Do you want to hear my joke?
You've started doing comedy again?
Yeah. Well, no, I've always been doing it, but stand-up gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? This is an attempt.
You're going to do some stand-up on me?
Do you want me to do a joke and see if you think it's funny? I was really happy with it.
Now well, I'm going to have to say it's funny, whatever, yeah.
Well, no, I think you'd be honest. It was, we talk about matching pyjamas, you know, at Christmas.
Right,
and
yeah.
I say I'm middle class now, so we all have matching pyjamas, me and my wife and my kids. I mean, growing up, me and my brothers, fucked it up. Shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, there's really a confidence hit, that is. Basically, the punchline is we didn't even have matching parents.
Oh, that's good. That is good.
It's good, but it needs to be... That's the problem. I'm in between... I've got the stuff, but I can't deliver it properly yet, Josh. And it's really hit my confidence. Anyway, talk to me about cats.
Could I talk to you about the fact you have matching pyjamas at Christmas with your whole family?
With Lou and the girls. Yeah, you can if you want.
Bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not really into it, but Lou is, and it's just not worth upsetting everyone. She's also, when we go Disney, wants to wear matching tops, and I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that.
I saw that Ron Beckett, and he was dressed like his family.
I saw, so the other day, we went for a dog walk, and I saw a couple, middle-aged couple, walking along, and they both had shorts on, and the polo shirt, but they both had matching colours, but the shorts were like a lemon colour and the top was like a violet, and what? I was like, they were like literally matching clothes, but I don't know if it was an accident or not, but me and Lou were in matching clothes, but we were just wearing like black active wear because we were going for a long walk. But I think lemon shorts and a violet top is
that's a strange combo, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a strange combo.
Anyway, let's talk about your cats.
So I go downstairs.
A lesser comedian would say your pussies.
Yeah, yeah, but you're back doing comedy now, so you've got gear ready to go.
Oh, I'm really upset. I'm really tired, and I thought that'd be a fun little thing to kick off with. Talk you through some of my new jokes, and I completely fucked it up. And now my head's gone. I've got a gig tonight, Josh. No. Where are you? I'm burning the candle at both ends.
Top Secret Comedy.
It's you've gigged there, haven't you?
Oh, big time, mate.
It's got the most disgusting toilets.
Vile.
Ever. Awful. And this is, I'll give you another little joke I do here, Josh. It's quite pathetic now. I don't know what I'm doing. I always go, Top Secret Comedy. I tell you what's top. Oh, it's so secret, the cleaners don't even know where the fucking toilets are.
That's nice.
And they laugh sometimes.
And then you think, well, that's of no use when I get this fucking tour together.
Yeah, well, I'm in Staffordshire. That's not going to work in their lovely theatre with their lovely toilets. Anyway, sorry. Well, wake up, Rob.
Good evening, Staffordshire. Has anyone been to Top Secret Comedy in Covent Garden?
Basically, they've got... If you haven't, I'll explain. They've got some pretty mucky loos. All right, sorry, Josh, let's get back on track.
I'm knackered as well. I'm absolutely exhausted.
I'm not just burning the candle at both ends, Josh. I'm lying it in the middle and chucking it on a bonfire. My candle is wet.
What?
Wet and
why
hot.
Is your candle so wet?
My candle's dripping wet of heat just because I'm getting up at 6-ish with the kids to get them into school because now they've got new clubs. My daughter goes swimming at 7:45 a.m.
Oh, fuck that.
It's too early.
Fuck that. Who the fuck is she? Adam Peaty?
Anyway, because she's getting a bit older. Like, oh, does she want to sort of do swimming, like do on the swim team? I was like, probably not, no, because it involves me having to get up at 6 a.m. and drive them to a fucking pool. I was in the car with her today going, you like swimming, don't you? But don't you really want to race, do you? She was like, no, brilliant. Don't race. Don't swim. If you're gonna commit time to a sport, do one that earns you good money.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Unless you really love it, but anyway.
Oh, but yeah, because I was at secondary school. I had a friend, and he was about 15. And he was swimming competitively, and he'd have
come
to
on,
get
grow
up.
Up.
And you're like, you're not going to make it by this age, mate. You're not even the best in Devon.
Yeah, but also, no. Even if you do, like, no offence to Adam Peaty, he seems like a good guy. Rebecca Adlinson, Duncan Goodhue, Sharon Davis.
Duncan Goodhue is your third one off the.
But, yeah, like, unless you're Michael Phelps, who's like megastar, but like. Yeah. You're not earning much more than a championship level footballer, are you?
But you've
surely.
But you've got up at 6 a.m. every morning,
and you're in a swimming pool
charge.
All the time. And you've got like you're on your own. You're not even part of a team. I don't know. I just sort of feel like if you're going to commit to getting your kid to sort of do a sport, loads, they've got to really love it, or at least pivot them into like tennis. If you've got girls as well, tennis or golf's probably the biggest earner.
Rob, it's not about earning. It's about love of the sport.
Is swimming sport? I don't really think. I know this is bad. I don't really think walking, running, or swimming sport.
I quite like running. Swimming.
I don't mind long
swimming.
Running.
You can't see what the fuck's going on. It's just eight different splashes. Like, and you've seen which splash is ahead.
It's basically if you've got the biggest feet and hands, you're going to win.
Yeah, it's not that scene.
No.
It's not
anyway,
scene.
Let's get back to your cat. Sorry.
But can I just say? Sitting on the side for swimming, it fucking stinks.
I know, it's horrible. It's like Top Secret's bloody toilets.
Yeah, exactly, mate, exactly. Yeah. It's too hot and it stinks and you're just sat there going, this isn't relaxing.
So what would be your best and worst sport? Say your kid got into sport, one of your kids, and they were like basically going pro. So you're there 4 days a week, but Saturday and Sunday. What would you pick?
Chess.
What would be the best and worst? Chess.
Indoors.
Darts.
Pub. I don't want to go in a pub.
I don't think I could handle rugby.
Rugby's the worst. I think... Rugby's the fucking worst, mate. It's awful. I hate it.
You can't see what's going. It's just a big bundle, isn't it?
It's... right, here's my question with rugby.
Go on.
How do you know who's good and bad in the scrum? They're all just pushing together.
Oh, that's a great nudge there from number three in the scrum.
How's one of them playing for England? You don't know who's... who's they're all just pushing, is it? It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's fucking shit. It ruined my school days. Did you have to play it at school?
We played it a couple of times, but our school was very sort of Southeast London school. So in the end, they just let us do basketball, ping pong or football.
Oh, mate. We used to do a term of rugby every year and it was fucking terrifying. Did I tell you that I was basically... I yo-yoed, but our our PE groups were higher and lower. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the year was split into two. Right. So it's four PE groups, and on each side of the year, we had a higher and a lower. And I yo-yoed. I was either, depending on the year, best in the lower. We're literally kids weren't finishing the 100 metres. It was fucking brilliant. Or I was the worst in the higher, and I was playing rugby with the rugby team and me, and it was awful.
Yeah, you must have got absolutely battered.
Yeah, I used to run ahead of the ball so they couldn't pass to me, like just slightly ahead.
Did you have your asthma pump like in hand, or was that just on the sideline?
No. I was never that bad enough for it to leave the dressing room, really. The changing room, sorry.
Well, that's the thing. Those kids I remember at school that had asthma, and it's like, you know, everyone talks about like, it's all about mindset, you know, like 80% of just a high level sports mindset and 20% is like fitness and knowing what you're doing. And they would scream, "Oh, have you got your asthma pump in case you need it when we do sport?" I'm like, you're not really inspiring him to success, are you? They're just screaming at a boy, have you got your asthma pump?
It was awful, mate. It was fucking awful. There was just a big kid called Sean Devonish who was just...
I can picture him. He is massive.
He's fucking massive. If he gets the ball, that's a try. And on the other side, there was another big kid called James Penfold. Same thing. It was just those two.
Did them two have a fight after school ever?
No, they were friends, I think. I don't remember. Oh, dear. They were both, I think, farmers.
Big thick neck, thick-fingered
big
farmers.
Big old necks, mate. Well, like we were talking about the big fingers of a working man last podcast. The big neck of a farmer.
Hay bales at the age of six. Get on with it.
They would get time off for baling season.
That's mental. Just hire someone. Don't get your take your child out of education. Just pay an adult to do your job. Right, the cats, that's what we talk about.
Okay, it's the cats. So I go downstairs after we've recorded, and she's there, and I think, we've got to go at 3, and it's this is 3 hours' time, but I reckon, get her in the bedroom now, yeah?
Yes.
Because that's where I lock her, in the bedroom.
Right, okay.
Lock her in the bedroom, our bedroom, put a litter tray up there, leave it. And so, after an hour, I go up, sneak in the bedroom. She stays in there. She backs under the bed. And then 20 minutes before leaving, I go up to get her in the box. She's not by the door where she'd think she'd be loitering. She's not in the bedroom.
How has she got out of the bedroom, Josh? For an unwell cat, she's pretty wily.
Yeah, mate, honestly. And I look round the room and let me show you.
Would you take a photo of nothing if she weren't in there?
No.
This is just going to be a photo of your empty bedroom.
It took me ages to realise what had happened. And then I saw this.
Oh, the window's open.
The top bit of the window. The top bit of the window.
How's she got out of that?
On a first floor.
Oh, my God. Lovely curtains, though, Josh.
Thank you. They're new.
Oh, no. You're in trouble. You've lost the cat.
I've lost the cat, Rob. She's scrambled up the new curtains and out of the top of a fucking French window.
And on the first floor?
On the first floor. She's then hopefully climbed down the house. I had to go and check that her body wasn't on the floor below.
she was peaky. No, I think she's peaked.
Yeah, she's died. She's in such a bad way, she seems to have jumped out the window. So... So she disappeared, completely disappeared. I had to phone the vet and tell them my cat had disappeared. Absolute. I mean, it must happen all the time, right?
No, but like not as a symptom.
No, not as a symptom.
I've got to bring you my cat in. It's disappeared.
I couldn't believe it.
So you didn't take her in the end?
No, it's been moved down 2 weeks' time.
And how's she doing?
Well, she turned up in the evening because it was awful until she turned up. Because I was like, fucking hell.
Can I ask you a question, Josh?
Yeah.
If you lived alone.
Yeah.
And you looked at those two cats.
Yeah.
Would you ring the vet to book an appointment because one looked peaky?
Well, Rose did point out to me.
Yeah.
And I did notice that when she pointed out, her breathing's quite fast and deep. Quite fast and you can see it a lot more than with her sister.
How old is she?
We got her in 2015. She's 8.
Oh, so it's not that old. Oh, mate, to be fair, though, my breathing would increase as well if I was locked in a bedroom by TV's Josh Whittaker and had to climb out the window. Well, hopefully she's all right, Josh.
She's fine. Well, she's not. She's got an appointment in 2 weeks. But
right, okay. Tell you what, even a cat can't get a doctor's appointment. So the NHS is on his ass.
Too bloody right, mate. So, yeah, I didn't get to do the appointment because the cat got out of the fucking top window. I can't believe it. I took so long looking for her. Would you have thought to close the window?
Well, yes. If I'm trying to secure a cat in a room, I'd probably check the window. Like, that's... I wouldn't say it's a... It's not like... I wouldn't check all the bolts on it, but if it was open, I'd shut it.
Yeah, that... I mean... It's thick from me, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, what I would, in your defence, is the high up part, so you wouldn't automatically. It looks shut until you see. But the cat knew.
Yeah, the cat knew.
Clever little bastards.
Clever little bastards. I'm so tired, Rob. It's fucking mental.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? When they go back to school, it is early starts, and then also your work diary gets busier because it's like kids are in school. Where have you been?
I've been filming Cumbria.
God. Oh, so this was the time where you finished. At 10:30 and you were getting driven back home for Sunday morning to get in at 5:30 a.m. to see the kids for the day.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, so I finished at 11.
PM, lovely.
Yeah. Got in the car. ETA, 4:38. I was quite pleased by that.
I mean, that's how bad it's got, Josh.
Yeah.
That's a win.
I had my pillow, obviously, with me, so I...
Lovely.
I fell asleep about an hour in.
That's good, yeah.
On the door, and then... Right across, but still strapped up.
Right, yeah. What can't, do you think I care about that? I don't really mean you. I mean, it's good to know you got a bit of kit, but I don't think I needed the positions.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair. It's fair.
I don't be harsh.
This is how tired
coffees.
I am, Rob. This is how tired I am.
Yeah, because I want for a bit on the window,
tired.
For a bit on the other side.
I'm
cool.
So
good to know. Good to know. You do realise this isn't just a catch up. This is people are listening, and even on a phone call catch up, it's like, come on, mate, laughing it up. Got a busy day.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Go on.
At 3:30 in the morning, I wake up and we've pulled into a service station.
Right. Okay.
Now I presumed, you know, I thought this guy would be like his special move would be driving through the night.
Yeah.
And he just pulls into a service station and we pull up and I wake up and he goes, I just need 10 minutes. We're an hour and a half from home.
Not a wee or a coffee, I just need 10 minutes. But that's the sensible thing to do, yeah.
And then he did this with his hands. He just went...
What?
Rubbed his face like he was the most tired man in the world.
I mean, I get it's 3 a.m.
Like... He rubbed his face like to say, I can't believe this is happening to me. And I said to him, I think you need to go and get a coffee.
Yeah.
And he said, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, of course I'm fucking...
I had that once with a tour manager and we were driving back from Birmingham and he was, I'm just so tired. I went, well, get a coffee. But no, I don't have a coffee because I'll be awake when we get in then. I went, yeah, but I'd quite like to die on the way.
Yeah, you go.
I'd rather you take an extra hour to get to sleep than we both die on this motorway.
Do you know what? I've done that with like TV shows where I think I really could do with a coffee here. Do I care more about getting to sleep or just doing well on the TV show?
what I'd say with that drive back from Cumbria, though, is Josh, like,
yeah,
my dad was a driver and like a cab driver, lorry driver, and did a driving job. So, like, no matter like how much you prep for it, having to drive from Cumbria to London overnight is just not okay, is it?
No.
It's just whether that's your job and you're slightly used to it, like, there's no human on the planet that's like, yep. Well, that's the job for me. That's, you know, that's like, oh, God, you know, it'll be good money, though. Shall I do it? You know, I try and get a kip in the day. But, like, if I was that driver, I'd be, like, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and be like, I have to go to sleep now because later I'll need it. But you just can't.
Fucking Cumbria, man. He didn't even have the radio on. Just sat like that for 6 hours. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, I don't... That's the one thing with people like that are drivers or cab drivers where they don't have any radio or podcast on or headphones in and just drive in silence. And I think, I don't think my brain could cope with that.
No.
What are you thinking about?
What are you thinking about?
He sat there just going, oh, he was on the window, now he's on the other side with his pillow. Very interesting. I wonder if he brings that up on his podcast.
On his jackpot podcast that people listen to.
How long were you at the services then?
I don't know. I've fallen asleep straight away once he went in and got his coffee.
Yeah.
I fell back to sleep on the non-window side.
Yeah, of course. Good to know.
I got home 4:38.
Lovely.
Got in to bed.
You've got to be quiet there because you could wake the kids up for the day. That's the danger of that time.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was up at 8:30.
Did you have a nice day with the kids?
I was quite tired.
What did you do?
In the morning, we did the Jumble Trail.
What's that?
So it's a thing locally in Clapton where people have stalls outside their houses. It's like a jumble sale, but
right.
Everyone has stalls outside their houses so people walk around the streets buying stuff.
Lovely, if that's your thing.
And I did that. We went and helped out on someone on Pearl's friend's stall. We turned up, Rob.
I wouldn't... You know when some people have just got a lust for life? And they're just like... You feel like you've tapped out, Josh.
Rob, let me take you through the following week. It's overshadowing me.
What, so you're in a state where you've had a busy week and you're tired.
I'm so busy.
And then you've got a busy week coming up.
I'm just going to take you through the next 2 weeks.
And okay,
then,
right.
And then yeah,
can I please request enough detail, but not as much detail as pillow positions? If that's all right. Like, just
thank
speaking
you for
of
making
me.
This funny today, Rob, because I'm in a fucking state.
Talk me through your 2 weeks.
So, drop my daughter off at school today, then do this, then straight into having my neck sorted, which wasn't helped by sleeping in two separate positions.
I mean, you've had the old neck. We've had to finish early for the old neck osteopath appointment. 3 weeks running. The neck too stiff at the moment.
It's just playing up. And then got to go straight into town, doctor's appointment, and then a meeting. And then go back to get my daughter from a friend's house, get home, bedtimes, etc. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, pointless.
Yep, and then what else are you doing?
Yeah, really nice.
So you're hosting Pointless.
I'm co-hosting
you're the
Pointless.
Richard Osman. Okay.
Yeah. Which I was really looking forward to, and I am really looking forward to, but I could do with a day off.
What I'd say is though, that gig of being the Richard Osman is sort of less is more, where you don't want to do too much, and like you're trying to take it over and do a panel show. Where you actually just need to give a few answers and
exactly.
Be a bit slightly amusing. But the danger is for you in your current position, you literally don't say anything.
That I just fall asleep behind that laptop.
Armstrong goes, "Okay, Josh, and any pointless answers there?" And you go, "Yeah, Denver, Colorado." Okay, thank you very much, Josh Whitaker, they're on.
Oh, God.
So you're a bit pointless, yep.
Friday, I'm recording voiceover on my CBBC show.
Yeah, and is it about a sad lizard? Is it about a sad bloke that's took too much on? Is that what the show
no,
is?
No, he lives on a planet with his daughter and a big lizard.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so he's actually got quite a relaxed life compared to mine. Afternoon, I'm recording a voiceover for James Acaster's new podcast thing. For Saturday, take my daughter to a birthday party. Sunday, fly to Spain.
What are you doing in Spain?
Recording the show with Nish for 4 days. Fly back Thursday evening, get in at 1:10. Get Friday here. Saturday, go to Bradford to record another episode.
Oh.
Do that.
How long are you in Bradford for?
4 days. And then we're in the middle of October. It's about the 5th of October by then.
Cool. And what bit are you looking forward to most?
I'm having an anniversary dinner with Rose on Friday.
Oh, that's nice. Where are you going?
I don't know, Rob. Rose has booked it. I'd forgotten until she said earlier. And then I... Yeah. Oh, it's mad. It's mad. It's just a mad month.
It's just a mad month. You'll be all right. Just do each day. All you got to do now is have a chat about our kids.
Yeah. How are your kids?
That's what we're doing now. How my kid, all good, back into school.
Oh, yeah.
My youngest needs glasses, so she's worn her glasses to school.
Oh, is she excited about that?
She was really excited, and then she was a bit, like, apprehensive about going in, because she doesn't really like... She sort of likes messing around and laughing, but she doesn't like anything where it's about sort of her. So if she's got something new, even if she had, like... She had to wear trainers in because she had a bad foot instead of shoes for a day. She'd be like, I don't want to do anything that makes you stand out kind of thing.
Yeah, classic.
But she was very... So, like, normally she bounds into school. And then she was like, Daddy, can you walk in with me? And she was like, I'm worried I'll look ugly or people will laugh and stuff like that. Oh, I was like, no, don't worry. And that's horrible. Anyway, so I walked in with her and then she just wouldn't leave my side. And was just like, the way she was just holding and touching her glasses. God. And was just like, she was so self-conscious, bless her. But the thing is, you sort of realise you want to be able to protect your kids. And like, you literally would, like, if they had to have an operation, I'd rather go in and have the operation. You know what I mean? Like, just put me into the thingy, whatever. I think the most difficult thing with parenting is you slowly realise there is nothing you can do.
No.
That she's got to walk in that playground wearing glasses and react to people's reactions and deal with people. Because ultimately, you're never going to be in a position in life as a child or an adult without a dickhead nearby.
No,
that's going to say something that's a bit rude, a bit off, and normally it's their own issue that they're sort of projecting onto other
always
people.
It's their own issue.
It's always their own issue. It's always, you know, and stuff. But that's life, and that's a life lesson, is to learn that. And I want to be able to do it for my children, but I can't. And it's debilitatingly stressful. But that's something that I've got to work out myself, because I think what I struggle with a lot in life is with the kids, they're going through childhood milestones that I actually found traumatic as a kid.
Yeah.
And when they're going through it, I sort of get transported back to that time, and I feel it in my body about how I felt when I went into school and had glasses and things like that.
Did you have glasses? Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, so I had glasses as a kid. So she went in and she was hiding behind my back, and then there's this wonderful teaching assistant that both my girls love, and, you know, she's lovely. I won't say her name, she won't be named in it, but she knows who she is. She eventually we called her over, and she ran over, and then my daughter went in with her. But you could see she's so, like, full of joy and loud, and she was so small and stressed going in.
Fucking
anyway, so I let her go, like, obviously let her go in and stuff like that, and then I got back to my car, burst into tears.
Oh my God.
But, like, not just like, oh, that just like, you know, like in a feast in a film where, like, someone like starts, not, I wasn't punching the wheel, the steering wheel, but, you know, like, that kind of moment of just like, and I was just
where
like, oh, it's so hard
at this point.
Really near the school. I mean, so, like, I'm just sort of, so all the parents are walking past me, the ones I know, but also ones that don't know me, and like, is that Rob Beckett crying in a little hot electric Honda? Yeah, yes, it is. But I'm crying facing the other way. So,
yeah. So you're allowed to talk about which way you're facing a car.
Touché. Good stuff. I respect that, actually. You're waking up, mate. You're off Cumbria time. You're back in the... Yeah, so that was quite...
And how was she a pickup?
She was fine, actually. She sort of, you know, some people said some things, some people didn't say some things and stuff like that, but... It's just difficult having to allow them to go off themselves and do all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, it's just been really busy.
God. Even as an adult, there's nothing worse than. Do you remember what it's like when you, like, even getting a fucking haircut and going into school?
I know. Or when I remember when I wore a cap, baseball cap once, and went to the pub. My mates were like, "Phil, I've got a fucking hat on. Why are you wearing a hat?" And I was like, "Oh yeah," and just took it off and just drank a beer in silence. But also, bless her, it was school photo day.
Oh, no. I remember, haircut-wise, I had curtains way longer than I wanted to have curtains, just because I was afraid...
How long were they?
They were quite long, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's terrifying getting a haircut or any change, or like, mufti day, I found quite nerve-wracking.
Yeah, of like what you're going to wear and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, because...
It's horrible as a kid, and it's so mad, though, because it literally means fuck all, especially when you get to, like, teenager. People at school that were, like, the cool kids, if you look at them now, it's an absolute fucking joke.
I would say, it's like scoring a goal early, isn't it? It's never actually the good sign that you think it is.
No. It puts a lot of pressure on you going. But also, like, at school, it was cool if you, like, you had an older brother.
Yeah.
Certain things that now... Like,
yeah,
I mean, look at
I
you
wouldn't
and
think
like,
someone's cool because he's got a Reebok coat now, would I?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you know, Josh, but I've got a brother who's actually 52. Isn't that pretty cool?
What
pretty
else have
cool
you been
guy.
Up to?
Well, so it's been a bit of a logistical nightmare because of Clark. They're doing so many clubs now. So, yeah. Like, one day, my daughter does swimming before school, swimming during school, some sort of drama class after school separately, and then also has got guitar lessons.
Bloody hell.
That's too much stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, you're really covering your bases, Rob. Does she just like that?
It was my daughter who didn't like any clubs, and now she's absolutely club heavy.
Oh, is
she's
she?
She's gone club mad. She only did record last year. Now she's doing all of them.
So take me through them. Guitar?
So she's doing guitar lessons. She does swimming, a amateur dramatics club thing. She does Lego club, choir, circus skills.
But that's six clubs. There's only five afternoons.
Summer at lunch, summer outside of the school, God. At local church halls or whatever. But she's just absolutely... What we do is we go mad for it in the week and then weekends... No clubs.
Right.
That's what we're doing at the moment.
And so does she just... Is she coming home at like 5 or 6 every day?
Yeah, they're so tired. They're so tired and aggy. And they're arguing... You know, like, I was a bit smug when you say my kids play well and get on together. They still play now, but the arguments are getting more amped up because they're getting older. They're like nearly 8 and 6. It's like, if they were married, I'd suggest a divorce. Like, I know that there's love there, but it's gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not what it was. And you'd probably be better apart.
And do you think... I was thinking about this the other day.
Yeah.
It's weird to think that the odds are your children, they'll probably text each other once every couple of months when they're grown up.
It depends, doesn't it?
They might be close.
Yeah.
But lots of people aren't with their siblings. And it's weird. It's
how do you make... Weird. How do you get your kids to like each other? And I still think mine do.
Yeah.
However, how do you carry that on into adulthood? I think the number of children you have makes it more difficult. So I've got 4 brothers, which is harder because you can't all meet up all the time because there's so many of you. And also then you feel guilty if you meet up with 1 or 2 of them and not everyone.
They've just got to have stuff in common.
Yeah.
Like... You know, if you've got stuff in common with someone, it doesn't matter if they're your brother. But if you've not got any common ground...
Yeah, because some siblings are totally different.
Yeah, exactly.
You go, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
Oh, they've also do football club, which I'm a big fan of.
Oh, yeah.
But they've got to have shin pads, which is so funny.
Shin pads? Fucking hell! They're 6 and 8!
I know, so...
Is that because they're shit or because it's...
Well, like, what are you saying about my kids? They're shit. Oh, you don't like women's football? Oh, you don't like women's football, actually? How dare you? Sat there with your bad neck, slagging off women, going, oh, do they need shin pads? They probably can't even kick it hard enough to hurt a shin.
No,
pathetic,
what I meant
disgusting
was,
man.
Is it because it's aggro or is it because there's... Is it because it's aggro or is it because...
Gammon. No, so I think it's because they've not actually started. They're just doing passing and shooting at the moment. Yeah. But I think it's because they have to wear boots so they don't slip over. And I think they're a bit wild with kicking.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit more than they're wild. Well, no, they're a little bit untamed, a bit wild. But they loved it. Basically, they wear the PE kit, but you have to take in some socks, shin pads and boots, right?
That's a way to get them to bond in the long term. Is me and my brother support Plymouth Argyle. So that is
They do seem to really like playing football. I don't know if they're watching
them to
the
Arsenal, Rob.
I'd probably take them Crystal Palace because that's their local club and you should support your local club, really, if you're going to be taken anywhere. But anyway, so I've got them these football boots and shin pads. But like the shin pads, right? So I hated these shin pads as a kid. The ones that go around the ankle, and then it goes up, and it's like you have to slide your foot into it. It's really difficult. I'm like, you can't run or play football. There's no freedom there. So I just got them these little ones that slide in, and they really like it. And I gave them their boots and stuff, but they can't do laces, Joss. We've been doing, we've just done Velcro. Do so I've got now a teacher who has to do laces, and I don't know how.
Oh,
I mean, I know
how
to do mine, but I'm like, fuck. Right. I don't know what to do.
Are you one of these people that roses the 2 bunny ears and then tie them together?
Yeah, no, I don't know what that means, but my daughters, I think, have seen a video on YouTube about doing laces, doing their own research.
Because I just do a normal bow, but Rose does her, like, this weird...
I don't do the 2 bunny ears thing.
No.
I just do a normal bow.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they can't do their laces. But I said, well, just get your boots on and then let the teacher do them up. Because the teacher, if you're teaching a five-year-old,
yeah,
most of them aren't going to know. So you can, it's probably quicker just to do them. Anyway, so I picked my daughter up from football. Turns out she's got them on the wrong feet.
What?
However, she can't do laces, and the laces were done up. So one of the teachers has looked at those feet and just tied them up. I'm like, they're obviously on the wrong feet. And like, I get it. It's all right if you wear like your shoes on the wrong feet walking into school, but you're playing football. The shots must be going all over the gaff. Absolutely. They'll be like, oh, look at the bend she's getting on that. No.
She might have been getting some real after bend that no other footballer's ever got. She's got invented a new...
invented their own predators, but that was crack about when she came up. But they loved it. But they're enjoying doing all the clubs and stuff.
So what time do you have to get up for clubs, Rob?
Well, Lou gets up about 6 every day. I get up about 6:30.
Fucking.
And then I try to take them to school, but then there's been loads. Oh my god, mate! They shut a road. Now I live in like the country. There is a road that is. I didn't realise this. It is basically the road out. So it's not like
you should try zone 2, mate.
It's not like in a city where if they shut
the road's closed, there's 400 other roads I could go on.
So, mate, honestly, it was taking like, it normally takes 20 minutes to get to school. It's taking like 45 minutes and it was carnage. It was awful. No one was being late for stuff and it was just so stressful. However, the good thing is the girls have got into Kasabian. They like Kasabian. So we've been singing Kasabian in the car, which is a marked improvement from Spice Girls and Britney Spears and Little Mix. I'm at my limit of that, but they're loving Kasabian.
I prefer Spice Girls to Kasabian.
Do you?
Yeah, I love Spice Girls.
More than Kasabian?
Well, I don't like Kasabian.
Why not? They're brilliant.
They're not, Rob.
They are. What don't you like about them? That Who I'm doesn't not... like Kasabian? I might have to stop doing this. I get it if you're like, prefer Blur, but how can you not Kasabian?
I've never liked Kasabian.
What's the problem with them? The music is musically good.
No, it's boring.
Boring.
It's laddie crap.
Laddie crap. You're pathetic. You know that. Oh, so I've got a couple of other things to tell you before we go. Right, so Lou took the girls to this party, right, and it was like a spa party because their friend's a bit older. And they went and basically got the nails done and got a bit of glitter in their hair and like a pampering thing at a spa. And then it was a kids' party. And anyway, so last week they had tattoos on their arms still from some holidays. And then literally it was like half gone, but you know what it's like getting rid of those tattoos. They go slowly. There was barely anything there. There was a note in the planner going, there are no tattoos allowed in school. I was like, all right, fucking calm down. It's literally Wednesday. They went back from the end of half term. It's gone the way out. But anyway, now they've got their nails done on Sunday for this party, and then they went to school, and I was like, Lou, they've got the you can't send a kid in with painted nails. They've got in with painted nails, but Lou didn't have any nail varnish remover. So we had a note from tattoos last week, so we're going to get a
nail varnish. Rob. You're running a kind of... like, you're taking them out on a huge nights out every weekend.
We do, to be fair, like, they are so tight. I think we do too much in our life.
No shit, Rob. What are you, a kid who's in 7 clubs?
So the kids this morning, they just went, Dad, I'm so tired. You know, a lot of them went, there's not even time at the weekend to rest.
What is wrong with you?
Well, they're just up for it. I'm trying to tire them out. But like, anyway.
No, you've done it.
We went to a park and there was this big swing. We went to a new park and there was this swing thing that goes round in a circle. And there was another dad there and I wasn't very good at doing it. I couldn't get the technique, but his dad was bigger than me and was absolutely launching him on it. And they kept on going, get the other dad to do it. Get the other dad to do it. And I was like, part of me felt bad. But I was like, this is actually amazing. I don't have to do it.
Did he do it?
This bloke called Tony just spanned my kids around. I mean, he was there with his kid.
Did you walk up to Tony and say, could you spin my kids around because I'm not man enough to do it?
His kid was on it and I went, oh, can
I
get on?
I listened to Kasabian, but I haven't got the balls to actually be a proper bloke.
So at this spa party, they were really excited and didn't want to leave and they were all a bit overtired. And then our youngest was being so naughty. So Lou rung me on the way back. She was on the motorway and went, Rob, it was the worst leaving of a house I've ever been involved in. She went, at one point, because the child lock's not on anymore, our youngest just kept on opening the door and running away of the car. Bloody as it was moving, would open the door and jump out and run away.
God.
And then our friends, because they were leaving the friends' house, the friend's daughter, who's like 9, went upstairs and found £2 in a piggy bank and said to her, you can have that if you get in the car.
Oh, my God.
And then she said no.
Well, that's good, because if she'd come home with £2...
And then Lou's telling me this, going, I just need a glass of wine when I get in. It was just too much, blah, 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 blah. And then I heard my youngest in the back, she was on the car phone going, I'm still awake, you know. Can I run this past you as well, Josh, right?
We went to see
Shania Twain last week, right?
What the fuck is wrong with you musically, Rob?
Well, to be fair...
Who are you?
Right, and let me explain. Shania Twain, this is quite weird. This is that. Well, you've dragged me into this.
It's quite name-droppy, this.
So I met her when we did Rob and Romesh, right?
Yeah, and you met her son.
And her son. She DM'd me saying, do you want to come to my show in London next week?
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, you can't. Yeah. You can't. It's a direct message from Shay Shay.
Yeah, and you said, where are you playing? And she said, the O2.
The O2.
And you said, that don't impress me much.
Oh, great work.
Thank you.
Well done. And she actually did sing that song, actually, and it was very popular.
I hope so, yeah. Fucking hope so.
So I thought, anyway, let's go, girls.
Did she open with that?
No, she did those two in the encore.
Well, hell, that's a long night, isn't it?
But I would say 2.5 hours is too long a set.
Oh, my God, when you're doing the two main ones in the encore as well.
Fuck, it was brilliant. Yeah. It's a long old song. Anyway, one of my friends...
Couldn't she play Club Foot just for people like you?
Too much. Yeah, please play LSF, Shania, just once in the middle. No, so my friend's husband is obsessed with Shania Twain. They're gay, just to make it clear.
Oh, right, okay.
Couple of gay guys, absolutely obsessed with Shania Twain. So I said to Luke, oh, should I get 4 tickets and we take them as a surprise? So anyway, we took them. And well, we got put in a box, right? Which was very swanky. So thank you very much, Shania Twain, for going in a box. So it's all in a box. Anyway, we're just... Who else was in the box? Well, I'll talk you through who was in the box in a minute. However, what would you say the etiquette is seating in a box? Because I've been in a box at the O2 a few times now in the past.
Yeah, there's like 10 seats out the front of the box.
Apologies for not being relatable, but I think we had quite a relatable episode the other week when you had a breakdown in your kitchen. So I think you can... Spare me this, but so what would you say?
So there's 10 seats out the front.
So like, yeah, so like 3 rows of seats out the front, and then there's some stools and a little table above that, and there's a big room with sofas in.
There's enough seats for people because they won't oversell the box.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a sort of seat for everyone.
I'd say it's first come, first served.
Sure. Yeah. And yeah. So that's pretty. And because when I got my tickets, there's like 15 seats. So I had like seat 6, seat 8.
Oh, do they have numbers?
They do, but no one ever really.
No.
When you're in someone's box, it's basically I've got 15 people coming, sit down, right?
Yeah.
And my tickets were literally all over the place. So I just wanted to, because it was seat 6, seat 8, seat 15, seat 14. But I didn't even look at the numbers because the rule is everyone just gets in, you sit down.
Yeah.
It's first come, first serve. Right.
It's like a sitting room.
It's like someone's sitting room, 100%, Josh, right? The only numbers on the seat is literally for like legal reasons of health and safety, okay?
Right.
And that's always been the way. It's a free-for-all. Anyway, so we're in there, sat down. Jamie Lang was in there.
All right, yeah.
With his partner, Sophie. Beverly Knight was there, and then Cara Delevingne was there.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, so we just sat in the front, four seats. Cara Delevingne wants to sit at the front, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And I was just like, we're sat there. And I was like... Oh, and then she was like talking to like, the people. I was like, oh, well, I just thought we'd just all sit wherever. I was like, you know, we didn't want to be split up because my seats were all over the place. And the lady who booked, like the PR woman, was like, oh, yeah, it's just sort of sit wherever you want. It's like, sit wherever you want, try and sit with your group of friends. It's like, and everyone's like on board with that. I would have sit at the front, actually. And I was like, what?
You had an argument with Cara Delevingne.
And then, I did have an argument. Then my mate was like, she was like, oh, he went, oh, sorry, so we didn't know, but then we didn't know, like, she was like, well, actually, they're my tickets at the front. I was like, I didn't ask to see a ticket. I'm not doing that. And then she was like, I was actually, and then my mate Tim was like, oh, would you like to sit at the front? And she was like, well, yeah. I was like, okay.
Oh, my God.
And then we just sort of moved at the back. But I was like, everyone was looking around going, that's not what you do in a box.
No.
But I think she had to just sit at the front.
Oh, my God.
Because it was like a thing. And... Oh, I looked into her eyes and I just thought, you're not okay, are you? So, like anything, this isn't about me or the seat, is it?
No, this isn't.
This isn't about Shania Twain. I'll be honest with you, I'm in a suite in a box. You can see from anywhere.
Yeah.
It literally doesn't matter. I just want to sit next to the people I know in a row.
You think you're unhappy now? It's 2 hours 15 to that. Don't impress me much.
Yeah, so we got moved out of our seats by Cara Delevingne.
Oh, wow. Well, that is our greatest unrelatable story we've had yet.
Yeah, but I was just sort of like, I don't really care where I sit, really. I just want to sit with my friends.
Who was she with?
It's just sort of three mates. They also brought their own little bottle of, you know, what's that thing people have that, like, is like they have in a spirit, but it's like a bottle, looks like a bottle of soy sauce, but it's got like a white packaging over and a yellow top.
What's that, remember. Michael? Do you know?
Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, that's it. What is it called? Angostura bitter.
So they brought their own bitters?
Yeah, she brought her own bitters. I'd say in bottle form and in attitude. That's it. Angostura bitters she had on the side hip. Yeah, that thing. That little bottle.
Where did she get it out of?
She had it in a little cup holder. Well, in what? My cup holder. It was actually my seat. Because I had one seat at the front. When Lou was behind me, I was like, I'm not sitting next to Cara Delevingne with Lou behind me and my two mates apart. Yeah, oh, to make the Manhattan, that's it. A bit of whiskey, sweet vermouth and bitters. So I think they must have been ordering something and then they were sprinkling that in.
Imagine if people had just... If you'd sat next to Cara Delevingne and there'd been a couple of kind of paparazzi shots, Beckett and Delevingne go to Shania Twain together.
I'd say if there's like a sliding scale of the kind of person that you're like suited to, that matches your energy and your kind of vibe, I'd say I couldn't be further away from the Delevingne's vibe.
Yeah.
It's quite serious. I think her, she's quite a serious actor, model type.
Yeah.
Bitters carrier. I'd say I'm more loose with my mixers.
Yeah. I'd say in my life, I've never considered bringing my own mixer.
Oh, I know. But also not even a mixer, just like a little
garnish.
Not a mixer,
just something to pep up. Yeah, maybe I've brought my own mixer. I've never thought, what if the drink's not peppy enough for me? I'll take some bitters
Right, I'm off to Shania Twain. What do I need? Little bottle of bitters. It's like taking your own hot sauce. Got me a little hot sauce. Go to McDonald's, get me a hot sauce.
It's not a Shania Twain thing that we don't know about, is it? Like, there's not a song where she's like...
Yeah, the bottle...
Get out your bitters, girls!
Yeah, to be fair, the bottle did have a tiny cowboy hat on and some leopard print. But it's so funny because it was quite surreal to me and my mate because we just wanted to sit together and I was like, let's just sit in the back. I can't be bothered to have an argument, really. And then... I say the back. It was literally row two of a box. Yeah. I mean, the view was exactly the same. It was if anything, it was better being back there so I could watch the bitter consumption. Oh, Josh, as well, some information for the listener.
Yeah.
From now, Parent in Hell, a Spotify podcast, is now available everywhere.
Do you know what? I thought something everywhere. Felt different. I thought there was an echo in the room, Rob.
Still free.
Yeah. Oh, it's always free.
And available everywhere.
Look at that.
Wherever you want it.
Yeah.
You can have it.
Yeah.
Shout into your smart speaker and it'll give it to you. So that we are now available everywhere. So enjoy.
The fact remains, Rob, if they're already listening, it is a useless bit of information, but fine.
I know, but, you know, it's nice to know. And then people can tell people.
Yeah, you know? If you're saying listening.
It's all about messaging.
It is. This is the thing.
Anyway, right, should we do small business shout out?
Yeah.
Here we go. Hi, Rob and Josh. Thank you so much for keeping the parenthood of the world entertained for so long. I started a business a few years ago when I discovered there was nothing out there for learning times tables for children who learn visually or by stories. I've created a book, Memory Owls Times Table, videos and a plethora of silly characters who live in Memory Owls Wood. For example, Stick and his best stick friend were walking along, talking too much, and fell in a muddy puddle, becoming Dirty Sticks 36. So I think that's 6 times 6.
Oh, yeah.
I think I need it. Visit me for lots of free resources at www.memory-owl.com. I started off wanting to make some money, but now I just want to spread the word. Thank you so much. Keep being sexy and relatable. Susan Lucas, mother of Amy 17 and Sophie 15.
Great stuff. They're very nice, our listeners, aren't they?
Yeah, anyway. Thank you so much for being nice. And all the people that come up and say hello that listen to the podcast are always much nicer than the people that say, I preferred Mock the Week with Frankie Boyle.
Yes. Or I'm sitting there, could you pass me my drink? I need to put some bitters in it.
Excuse me, I want to be 30 centimetres closer to Shania Twain, even though we are about 100 metres away up high.
Hi, RB, JW and M. With the various school exam results incoming soon, next year, I'm hoping my school small business could be a suitable topical shout-out for next year, yes.
I've so been topical.
It's still topical. I've been an English teacher in a secondary and sixth form for 10 years and have left the classroom to set up my small business, designing and selling academic planners, calendars and revision materials to help students avoid burnout and support their mental health. Very good. My website is omygoodnight.co.uk and I'm at omy.goodnight on socials. Many thanks, Lisa Hunter.
Thanks, Lisa. Right, Josh, I'll see you on Friday for another guest interview.
Yeah, I'll have more energy then. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Will you? Or are you just going to slowly tail off until October?
No, I'll be fine. I'll be back.
Back for Avengers. You were good today, though, Josh. Don't get in your head. It was funny.
It was funny.
Interesting.
I told you both positions I slept in.
Yeah, that's great. I like that. But it worked for the show, Josh.
That's how it works.
Right, I'll see you on Friday.
Bye.